Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you again. Happy Monday to you. Happy, hope your Thanksgiving Day was good. Hope your Black Friday was productive as you want it, whether you're avoiding it or enjoying it. Hope your Small Business Saturday.
Yeah.
What the hell is Sunday? I don't think Sunday has anything yet.
Sunday's the day of rest, apparently.
And then hope your Cyber Monday is going well.
Well,
be a good little capitalist and buy things. Go do it.
Of course, this is all for the people in the U.S.
Yes, of course.
Well, you know, everybody can participate in Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah, thanks
sales.
To the internet. Now these are global phenomenon too. I mean, you know, this is kind of becoming a thing. But yes, we come at you once again with another episode of Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And guys, this week we wanted to take things a little light. We've been doing a lot of serious stuff.
Right.
Pricing, news stories involving a haunt. Someone tried to set a fire 3 times in one night.
Yeah.
I'm still wrapping my head around that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We wanted to bring it down and be a little less serious this week. So, we wanted to talk about 13 things that haunters have or do that just frankly are not normal.
Yeah. And this isn't a complete list by any stretch.
Oh, no.
Please feel free to add your own things that you've noticed you do that other people look at you funny for.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a fan edition of this in a future episode. So that could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got plenty of suggestions on top of these. And like I said, this is just what we could fit into an hour comfortably. So
yeah, so message us or send us a
Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, post comments, let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but first thing is first, we do conference reminders. It is an odd episode. Crystal, you are the oddball. Please kick us off.
Okay. December 9th, Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2019, of course.
This is coming up on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so the next episode, we won't have this on there.
Yes. So, it's in Kissimmee, Florida, at the Gaylord Palms. It's hosted by the Haunted Attractions Network. 4 keynotes with following discussions. Private viewing of the Christmas at Gaylord Palms. HauntedAttractionNetwork.com or leadership-symposium.org for more info.
All right. After that, December 13th, coming up quick, guys, in Chicago, Illinois, it's the Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour Christmas Edition, or Xmas Edition, as they present it. They will be visiting the Massacre Haunted House before opening with a free Christmas drink and Midnight Terror with a free holiday meal afterward.
Yeah.
It is only $75. For this, you will get better than VIP access to both of these haunts. You will get the meal, you'll get the drink, you get transportation, entertainment on the way. This is crazy, okay?
Yeah.
This is nuts. I think they are clinically insane for doing this. But if you want to exploit the insanity, LostSoulsChicago.com is the website.
Okay, then January 17th through the 19th, that is HauntCon, Halloween, and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest and Memorial Convention Center. It will be featuring us.
Yes.
We have a talk. We're also opening up the haunt for a few people.
Yes.
Jonathan may have a second talk.
Yeah, we're still working on that, still in the works. Don't know the deets.
Yeah. HauntCon.com for more info.
Yes.
On that.
All in all, I'm really excited about this. We heard recently that the tour of the mortuary,
right,
which was another Friday night activity, has been canceled.
Yeah, at least it's no longer on their site and people are confused.
Yeah, don't know what happened with it. There seems to be a lot of confusion right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information out there officially, so we can't comment on it.
But if you were one of the ones looking forward to going to that and your Friday night became open, head over to Haunt Weekly, find the event for our haunt, and make sure to say you are going. We need people to let us know they are going so we can plan a head count and see if it's feasible to do the crawfish boil that we're planning on doing. We're gonna try to accommodate everyone. Everyone's getting prizes. Everyone's getting stuff. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
But we just need a head count to know how many people it's gonna be.
Right.
All right. That and also to provide transportation.
Yeah.
All right. February 21st through the 23rd, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. We'll be touring Asylum Haunted House, blow the lights on and off, and have a costume ball. HauntX.com for more information.
Okay. Then skipping way ahead to May 15th through the 17th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. That's a lot of Ohio's.
Yes, it is.
It features a ghost hunt costume party and haunted house tours. Ohio Halloween and HauntersConvention.com for more info as it becomes available.
Yes, indeed. There's not a lot available just yet. It's still early.
Yep.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. All right. So, first thing, quick update on our haunt. We ain't got no road.
Right.
They completely tore it up.
It looks how we expected it to look at Halloween.
Yeah, it looks exactly how we expected it to look at Halloween. We technically have a drivable dirt road-ish,
right.
But they are supposed to be coming by tomorrow. For us now recording tomorrow, for you listening today, doing more work.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what, but they've asked us to move our cars for Monday.
Right. Looks like some of the neighbors forgot that memo. So.
Or they didn't get it because they didn't exactly come around and flyer us or anything. So we actually don't know. We just heard the rumor.
Yeah.
So yeah, the demolition of the road is done. The sidewalks are gone. The road is gone. Now we're just waiting for the paving crew. And if they do what they did on the other side, first will appear a sidewalk / curb truck.
Right.
Which is really weird. They have a thing specifically made for this.
Yeah.
What they do is they install the curbs and the sidewalks, and then they go and they start doing the tar and the paving.
Yep.
And so those might be two completely separate processes. In fact, they were on the other side.
Yeah. Everywhere else we've seen it done, it's been separate.
Yeah. So step one is complete. Two more to go.
Yes. Also, real quick, for any of you who are coming to New Orleans and are a little bit antsy about recent news events.
Yes.
If you feel like you want to ask us any questions about visiting the city, please do so. We also had a podcast last year about visiting the city and how to stay safe doing it.
Yeah, and I think everything in there, we don't need to repeat it, basically.
Right, exactly.
We'd literally be given the same podcast, and that doesn't help anyone.
Exactly. So I'm just directing you to it now, and reach out if you need to.
Over the next week, I will make sure to repimp that podcast on the social medias.
Right.
As well as our guide for things to do in New Orleans. I believe everything on there is actually still valid, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm struggling to think of anything we mentioned that is we know of that's closed or gone or changed or whatever. I know there's a lot of interesting tomfoolery because of the Hard Rock collapse.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that impacts what
that's
we recommend.
That's kind of a sightseeing thing of its own right now.
I definitely recommend getting your ass to North Rampart and Canal. I'm definitely going to recommend that. Do it on foot, though.
Yeah.
Do it on foot. Just trust me.
Yeah.
It's quite a sight to behold. If you've seen video and images of it, the scope of it doesn't hit you until you're beneath it going, holy crap.
Yeah. Exactly.
It really smacks you in the face. So, but yeah, I mean, honestly, what happened this weekend with the shooting... there was an event, the Bayou Classic is an annual football game that happens.
Right.
And it tends to bring a pretty rowdy crowd. Sporting events in general bring a rowdy crowd.
Right.
And this year we're hosting the National Football Championship. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It seemed to have been related to the event though, rather than anything New Orleans specific.
Exactly.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep.
But anyways, like we said on the intro here, as far as actual work in the haunt, we have not done much. The main reason, we forgot to mention this part. We wanted to give an update on the haunt. We talked about the street, then we talked about New Orleans, and then we try to keep moving. Go team. We have not done much this week. You had a show on Friday.
Right.
It went at least adequate.
Yes, and now I can say the other thing that we had been working on is getting a brand new site for my address.
Yes.
Store because I was featured in a New York fashion magazine.
Yes.
For my stuff, so that's really cool.
Alice Magazine New York did a gift guide.
Gift guide. Mm-hmm.
You were one of the items featured.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's really funny how that came about, because you sold a headdress to the writer, or right. one of the writers involved, at least.
The writer. Yeah.
And the long and short of it is, she had a problem with it. Something fell off shortly after buying. And yeah. you had the next day off. You went to her hotel.
Yeah, I think she was literally my third customer ever.
Yeah, and I think she actually bought one of your earlier headdresses before we learned a lot of the things that we've learned since.
I have learned so
much. I say we, like I've learned crap.
Yeah, I have learned so much about what different glues to use for different materials.
I'm telling you, you are rapidly becoming the adhesives person.
Yes, I
am. You don't put E6000 on that.
No, it's you don't put hot glue on that. E6000 will, you just have to wait for it to dry.
You need a clamp if you're going to use E6000.
You do. I need to buy more clamps.
The clamps! It's the clamps, Charlie! It's the clamps!
Exactly. Anyway.
But anyways, that went well. We've not done a whole hell of a lot. And part of the challenge we face now is we don't have driveway access.
Right.
We can drive on the street, but the street is not connected to the driveway in any appreciable way.
Yes, but hopefully next week we will be telling you that we have reskinned a bunch of walls because we've got the wood for it before we lost the driveway.
We were smart and made the wood run before the driveway went bye-bye.
Yeah.
So we have most of what we need. And the things we do need, 2x4s and fence posts, we can get with the car pretty easily.
Yeah,
and even
and
without driveway access, it's not a huge deal. And we're going to be talking more about that in a minute, actually. It's coming up later. So we've got the urgent stuff. We're going to be skinning probably over the course of the week.
Yeah.
And then we got one build to complete, and then it's paint, light, and clean out.
Yep, exactly.
So we're pretty far along, all things considered. It just doesn't feel that. We're at the point of the haunt where it feels like, oh, God, we're never going to get done with this.
Yeah.
But then you actually look at your to-do list,
mm-hmm.
and you realize it's short. It's just everything's like crap because you were in a construction zone.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's where we're at. So, yeah, it looks like garbage, but it's not. So, we are going to be resuming work probably over the course of the week and definitely over the weekend. Hopefully we'll have plenty of time for HauntCon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we wanted to do a lighter podcast this week. We've done all these serious talks and da-da-da-da-da. So we wanted to have some fun, levity, some humor.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I didn't know if you guys knew this, but we as haunters, were weird.
We're abnormal.
We're abnormal. we ain't normal. But we as a community celebrate our abnormality in a way that a lot of other communities that are abnormal don't.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, well, we invite the public to come in and say, hey, look at those weird guys doing that thing.
Yeah. So, long story short, basically the point is we haunters ain't right in the head. Normal people don't build haunted houses, don't act in them. And don't live for this the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are 13 things that haunters have or haunters do that aren't normal. And for the record, we're not saying abnormal is bad.
No. Who wants to be normal?
Yeah, normal sucks. But what we are saying is that these are definitely things that make us stand out. Things we do, things we have, things we are that make us really kind of weird to the general public.
Yeah.
Kind of alien.
Yeah.
All right. Item number one, we're going to start with an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Dumpster diving.
Yeah.
I do not know a single haunter that does not dumpster dive.
No.
I have spoken to owners of significant major haunts with huge budgets and professional crews, and they are constantly driving around their cities with their pickup trucks, pulling shit off the curb, and grabbing stuff out of dumpsters.
Yeah, either that or people know to take their weird shit to them when they want to get rid of it. I know, Jim.
Yeah, that's when you reach peak dumpster diving, when the dumpster comes to you.
Exactly. I think that's how Jim Warfield got his I-beam that he reinforced the house with.
Well, I mean, Jim Warfield, once again, if you've never been to Raven's Grin Inn, this is a must visit. And because we were on the property during the day to interview him,
mm-hmm.
and we're walking around his yard. And he just has random stuff.
Yeah. Lots of it donated from
the
community.
It's like, where did all this crap come from?
Yeah.
So, yeah, people just say, hey, Jim wants this, and they bring it here instead of throwing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably hasn't had to go actual dumpster diving in years.
Yeah.
Because everyone just brings it to him. That's peak dumpster diving there.
Exactly.
But no, most of us have to drive around like schlubs.
Yeah.
And find things on the curb. And that's just it. And if you're not like a scrapper,
mm-hmm.
most people don't do this.
No.
And I've really been thinking about it because you and I, we dumpster dive pretty regularly.
Yeah.
One of our things is we love Wednesday nights.
Right.
Because Thursday morning is bulk trash.
Yeah.
And so Wednesday night is when all the bulk trash gets moved to the curb.
Right.
So like at 11 p.m., midnight, Thursday.
Yeah.
Right as people are going to bed, but they got their cans and their stuff mm-hmm. out. We'll oftentimes just go driving around the neighborhood mm-hmm. and seeing what people have. Hey, that's a headboard. Looks nice. That could go good in the Honda. Do we need a headboard in the Honda?
Yeah. Well, and I've done that, and I've gotten better or more picky.
Yeah. Because we had to.
Yes, we had to. We ran out of space. But, so now, even if something looks really cool, if I don't have a specific use in mind for it, which I can usually come up with on the spot, then I leave it.
Okay, sorry, I'm feeling a bit of a cough today.
Yeah, then I just leave it.
Well, one thing that has happened a lot is, I remember the oxygen tanks we got, or the gas tanks we got. We picked up several of those because we had a doctor scene, and we have a doctor scene in this year's haunt.
Right.
And we have one in last year's. We seem to have a thing against or for doctors. I'm not sure which it is.
Yeah, well, they'll also fit in an industrial scene and other things.
And so we grabbed them and threw them into the back of the Kia, which was fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
Because, once again, the great thing about the Kia, and I'm going to have to make sure that this is true for every car we buy in the future if we don't buy a truck next,
yeah.
is that the back seat goes all the way down.
Yeah.
Which means you can lay wood,
yeah.
large objects, and that's what you do. You lay the back seat and you shove them in there and drive off. Well, apparently, we didn't know this. One of the tanks was still under pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, our friend's like, hey, let me check that out for you.
Holy crap, it's still got like some insane PSI.
Well,
can you discharge it? Because we don't need that exploding. Because it's like rusting actively.
Yeah. Yeah, well, somebody had put it out the curb. We assumed that they had put
it was
an empty tank. And because they wanted them.
So be safe when you dumpster dive. Don't be us.
Yeah.
We were dumb. No one was hurt, luckily. We were able to discharge it safely. And now it is truly an empty tank.
Yeah, and we have no idea what was in it to begin with.
No tags. I'm assuming from this style of tank, it was probably either compressed oxygen. Because it looked like it could be from a medical, but it would be a big tank for compressed oxygen.
No, it wasn't medical. I don't know.
It could have been helium.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyways, whatever it was, it's in the atmosphere now. It's someone else's problem. So you're probably drilling a hole in the ozone layer.
Everybody's problem now.
Exactly. But that's just it. We as haunters love doing this because things that are broken or quote-unquote loved mm-hmm. or damaged, they're often helpful to us to get it in that state.
Yeah.
You know, that headboard with some nasty scratches and some chips taken out of it. Okay, yeah, I wouldn't put that in my bedroom.
Right.
Because, I don't have a twin-size bed. But also, yeah, it doesn't look very good. But it just saves me the work of distressing it to put it in the haunt.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, there's hotel scenes or bedroom scenes that you sometimes use.
If you do anything with a house, yeah, that's great. And it looks perfectly messed up.
We also find crafting things because I've seen, and this is something that I thought about a long time ago and hadn't had a chance to do. A lot of people are now painting doll houses to look like haunted houses,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. They look great, and I can't wait to find another one on the side of the road.
And one thing, I think my favorite dumpster dive find was the vinyl siding.
Yeah.
There was a house up the road. They did new siding, and they took, I think it was actually the scraps they couldn't use
right.
from the job. So I think it was a brand new vinyl siding. I don't think they were tearing off old. I think they were like covering up wood siding or something. And they took that to the curb. And so we had like 50 to 60 pounds worth of vinyl siding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a run. I saw it like run over. mm-hmm. Went like half a block.
Yeah.
Got to schlep all this back to the house. And I did. Got it all back. It wasn't easy. It was definitely a bigger workout than the run was going to be.
Yeah.
Anyways. Second item. Play the famous game every haunter has played at least once. Is that real blood or fake blood? Okay, if you build haunts, or even if you work in them, you've had this moment, a tool slips, you catch a nail,
yeah,
something, you feel a scratch on your skin.
Sometimes you don't even feel it. You're just cleaning up at the end of the night, and you go, oh shit, there's blood.
Yeah, what happened?
Is it real or fake? I don't know.
But we've all had that moment where it's like, is that real blood or fake blood? I don't know. Let me go wash everything off and see which it is.
Yeah.
That's the only way to tell half the time.
Yeah, there's also the phantom bruises, which can tell that they're bruises, but they're phantom bruises that every haunter seems to get.
Yeah, I don't know where those bruises come from.
No.
I tend to get them on my shins, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
Shins and my upper arms are seem to be the places they target me. But other people get them on their hips.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten them on my hips. I've gotten all over my legs, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason, I don't get it much on my thighs or my torso area or like the lower arm, but on my upper arm right near the shoulders, I don't know what I'm hitting.
No.
That's not something you like bump into things with. I can like the shins, okay, I can see how that probably happens. I'm probably like accidentally kicking ledges and tools or stuff as I'm trying to walk around. I'm not looking where I'm walking. So I can kind of figure that one, but the upper arms confuses the hell out of me.
No.
But yeah, the real blood, fake blood game is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a testament to how good fake blood has gotten.
Yeah.
That it's even a struggle to tell.
Right.
Because normally, it used to be fake blood was so obviously fake.
Yeah.
That there was never really a question. These days, there's at least a question.
Right.
You've got to check.
Yeah, and if you're not in the building process, but you find fabric with dried blood on it, then the game gets even harder.
Because
then it could be from any time but during the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then actually, if your haunt does used bandages.
Right.
Like as a theme.
Is that a real bandage or a fake one?
No, actually used because, you know, it's easy. You take a big bandage, you spray some fake blood on it and pretend like it's been recently used.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. But yeah, then the question arises, oh crap, is that a real bloody bandage that we need to throw out? Or is it a fake one that's a prop?
Yes. If you aren't telling your actors to make sure that their real bandages get into the trash can, start doing that, please.
Yes, that we've had that problem multiple times where actors will leave real bloody bandages behind.
Like, no, that's
and
a
one
health hazard.
In a freaking doctor scene where there were fake bandages around.
Yeah. No, that's a health hazard. We have to throw away everything now.
No, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's one of my favorite games.
Uh-huh.
Number three. No, how many of whatever random item will fit into your car?
Yeah.
Or your particular mode of transportation.
Yes.
We know, with a high degree of certainty, you can fit 52 standard pool noodles into a 2009 Kia Spectra.
Yes.
Because we've done it, and there wasn't room for much more.
No.
In fact, I think 52.
And two adults. Two adults in the front seat.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, if we'd had just the driver, I guess we could have gotten probably another 15 to 20.
Probably another box full.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have put another box in there.
But yeah, you can carry 52 standard pool noodles in a 2009 Kia Spectrum.
Yep.
You can also easily load 8 2x4s. You can technically, I think, get 10,
yeah,
but it becomes unwieldy to shift and drive, and it becomes not a space issue, but a driving issue.
Right, exactly. Because then it's like down on the gear shift.
Yeah, and then it tries to weigh down and land on the gear shift. And we also know you can fit 12 pieces of fence board. It doesn't matter if it's 6 foot or 8 foot, they stack the same way.
Right, exactly.
Most people don't have this information about their car.
No. Yeah, no.
It's like, I walk onto a used car lot. Okay, it's nice, but how many pool noodles does it hold?
Yeah. I know that I can fit 3 skeletons into that, into our trunk.
Hmm. Well, yeah, we know that we can fit 3 skeletons into the trunk, and if we use the back seat, we can probably get 5 more.
6.
5 or 6 more.
6. Because 2 per each space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these are assuming they're not in boxes.
And then you could, like, lay them on top of each other, too, so I bet... We haven't bought that many one time.
The most I think we bought at a time is 6, and that was a trivial fit.
Yeah.
That really wasn't stretching. And it's the reason I didn't list skeletons in there is because we never bought that many at one time. We've always bought like half a dozen every year.
Yeah.
And just sort of slowly accumulated. And now we have like a fucking skeleton army.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a skeleton crew. We've been over this.
But yes. But yeah, most people don't have this information about their car.
No.
You don't go to the used car like, how many 2x4s can this hold?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the pool noodle ratio? No, people don't do that.
No.
We're weird. Okay, using home building supplies for their not intended purposes.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. I originally said it was PVC, but no, it kind of goes for everything.
It does.
Because my first thought was, I remember the time we went to Home Depot. Mm-hmm. We were building one of the outside monsters.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one we were building, but we were building one of the outside monsters.
One of the big sexies.
And we were sitting there looking at the various thicknesses of PVC, comparing prices and getting the joints and everything. Mm-hmm. And figuring out what we realistically needed to do this and do this well.
Right.
Because we'd drawn it out.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually put much thought into the thickness.
Right. Well, and we were trying to figure out the logistics because we were making a 9-foot monster.
Yeah. And then a very helpful employee comes up and says, "What can I help you today? What is your home improvement project?" "We're building a PVC monster."
Yeah.
He looked at us like we had turds hanging out of our mouth. It was impressive how that conversation changed.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing what? And the weirdest part was we're having this conversation in mid-September.
Yeah.
It's like most people, and we're coming to this one later, October, Halloween ain't on their brain yet.
Right.
They're like, why the hell are you building a PVC monster?
Because
well, we
got to
start the frame now so it's ready for October.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know what your problem is, man.
I mean, basically, we are crafters. It's just our craft is, you know, building scary shit.
Yeah, it turns out most people don't build PVC monsters.
No.
And the Home Depot employees are not trained for what to do when that happens.
They're like, well, good luck.
Well, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally looked at us like we were crazy, and then it's pretty much left. I mean,
yeah.
Good luck. Hey, we got it right, though.
We did.
Did well with it. But, yeah. But, I mean, it's not just PVC, though. You can say that about pretty much anything you buy at Home Depot, you're probably not buying for the stated intended purpose. Plywood and 2x4s, sometimes.
Yeah.
Paneling is a form of wall building in its own weird way.
Right,
so that is kind of the intended use of those.
Yeah.
But also, you're supposed to put siding over the plywood, not...
I know one thing that haunters often use that is never used the way it's intended.
Great stuff.
Exactly.
Use the fire retardant great stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
They make fire retardant great stuff.
Yeah. Because I mentioned to my dad that, you know, that we have to buy the fire retardant one if we're going to do it inside.
Yeah.
And he's like, that stuff will burn.
Oh, good God.
So now I'm worried that my dad's going to take a can of regular great stuff and throw it into a fire because he might have mentioned trying that. And I'm like, don't do that. Please don't do that.
You know,
if you do that, don't tell Mom I told you it explodes.
Yeah, don't throw me under the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, regular great stuff is a fire accelerant.
Right.
When it's out of the can, it will catch fire and actively spread the fire. The fire retardant stuff is usual. And one thing, but being such weird experts on great stuff is also helpful for the people. Someone's like, hey, how do I keep bees from making a nest in this space? I'm like, well, get the insect repellent great stuff.
Exactly.
Because they make that too. That's the green can.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's like, yeah, so, yeah, we, and that also leads to another thing that makes us abnormal. Buying 20 cans of great stuff at one time.
Yeah.
You want some weird looks at the checkout at Home Depot? There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite thing to do with getting 20 things of great stuff is to make it an online order. I have to come pick up.
Yeah.
And then just imagine the poor guy going back and going, "Why does he want 20 cans of this?"
I'm sure they just bring out a box.
I'm sure they do. But still, it's like, what? Why am I getting 20 cans of great stuff? Nobody needs to. What are you filling? What are you building with it?
Mm-hmm. Crypt walls.
Yeah. All right. Number 5. Deliberately buying damaged and wrong size clothing.
Yeah.
The whole fashion industry hinges around the idea that people want to buy clothes that fit them well, and look good.
Yep.
We do the opposite a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most people actively seek to throw away things that are torn or damaged or messed up.
Right.
We seek them out, and if they're the wrong size, Maybe they'll fit a different actor, or maybe they'll fit a dummy.
Yeah.
Torn or damaged, that's called pre-distressed. Exactly. You saved me a step.
Exactly. I loved whenever the local costume shop would have the box of damaged costumes for like $2 each.
Oh, and some of them were like 5-50 cents each.
Yeah.
And so basically we just went there and I remember one time we just simply took the box to the register.
Yeah.
And they looked at us like we were nuts.
Well, they knew what we were doing with it.
Yeah, they knew what we were doing. But why do you want these? I mean, it was...
Well, like, the first time, they didn't know what we were doing.
But it was like children's costumes. It was everything from children's costumes to... I think the only ones we left behind were the sexy female costumes.
Yeah, because we don't use those.
We don't really have a use for those. But, I mean, yeah, okay, I'll put a kid dummy in a pirate costume and then stick him somewhere, you know?
Yeah, out in the front yard somewhere.
In the front yard. We'll do this.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
And, I mean, even if you don't use the whole costume, you know, the pants could be useful for something.
The eye patch, if nothing else, could be useful. I mean, there are elements of it.
Yeah. But
there's always going to be elements that are useful.
The other thing is, you know, we're weird in the way that we will go to a garage sale whenever it's about to close and make an offer on all their clothes they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
Because instead of them throwing them away, we can pick them all up.
And shunt it into a box and just have it handy for when we need to start dressing dummies or if actors
make
need
it a closet scene.
Exactly. So many uses for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we seek out the Goodwill finds and the things and the damaged items that no one else wants.
Yep.
All right, number 6. We get scary things for Christmas and birthdays.
Yep.
I gotta say, the one really good thing for our families that were haunters is if they're not haunters themselves and they're not partaking, they at least know what to get us when gifts are given.
Yeah.
There's no real question.
No. I mean, they...
Buy scary masks, buy props, buy weapons, buy haunty stuff.
Skeletons and limbs are always welcome.
Yeah.
Home Depot gift cards are also
I always need
welcome.
A hand.
Exactly. Ta-dum, tush.
But yeah, Home Depot gift cards are another safe one. But yeah, people give us scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like opening up my Christmas present and finding a severed head inside.
Exactly. I mean, and I like going to work and telling people what I got for Christmas.
I got a severed head, I got 2 hands, and a foot, and I got a skeleton.
There was a stocking, and there was a foot in my stocking.
It was the perfect stocking stuffer.
Exactly. And then they just look at me horrified.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. If you open up a Christmas present and it's a severed head, in like any other context, that is a threat from an in-law.
Yeah.
Like the first time your mom did it, I'm like, oh, I love the gift, but I really should be asking if this is some kind of implied I'm going to murder you in your sleep thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people know what to get us for holidays and for birthdays.
Right.
And I think they should be grateful for that. They should be thankful that we make this so easy on them.
Yeah.
Okay, number 7, research macabre things.
Yeah.
Now, everybody kind of tickles their macabre side a little bit. They look up things or watch shows about serial killers or maybe watch a gory video on YouTube or horror movies, of course, exist because of that tickling of the macabre. But most people don't do it for the reasons we do it.
No.
Which is research.
Exactly.
You know, you can right now go on the internet and look up images of dead bodies. And for us, it's actually useful to know what a body looks like when it's dead.
Well, and, you know, I know that I've done research on what does a mummified body look like? What does a bloated body for a water scene look like? You know, these are, you know, not that I would ever do a drowning scene in New Orleans.
But
that's
what does
but
you can also look up various types of injuries. What does you know, an arm ripped off look like?
Exactly.
What does a really bad bruise look like?
Yeah. And I've also, you know,
what do stitches actually look like?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to know all of that stuff so that you can do convincing makeup.
Do convincing makeup work and do convincing costume work too, because it oftentimes plays into how you dress things up.
Exactly.
So, it's important to know these things, and we research it. And I don't think anyone outside of morticians and forensic pathologists do this.
Right. And it's not just dead bodies. It's things like torture methods.
Yeah.
I've read several books on it. And I've read several books on, and I know you have too, on fear and why there are fear responses and things like that. We had Marky Kerr on here to talk about that.
Yeah.
So
we love researching these things.
Yeah.
And
are endlessly fascinated by it.
You know, and to a point where it would be a mental illness if we didn't have an outlet for it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, whenever we start talking about it, not on this podcast, to people, they're like, you are so excited about this. It's kind of scary.
You need to stop talking about this yesterday.
Exactly.
Please stop. You were frightening the children.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah. Now, this is one I don't know if everyone else does, but I know I've done it, been doing it, and I do it all the time. And that is seeing the world through the perspective of panel math.
Yeah.
I.e. 4-foot spans.
Mm-hmm.
A sheet of plywood, in these United States at least, is 4 foot by 8 foot. That makes a panel, a section of wall for a haunted house, 4 feet wide. So, next thing I know is like I'm trying to eye the distance between two points. One of the quickest ways I have to estimate it is how many panels would it take for me to get from A to B?
Mm-hmm.
And then multiply it by 4.
Yeah.
I mean, people use a lot of different things for this.
Right.
People use like basketball goals or an easy way to estimate 10 feet.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing vertical height. But for me, it's like, yeah, that's about a 20-foot span. That's because it's five. It'd be about 5 foot panel, 5 panels.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I see the entire universe that way. As weird as that sounds, I see like all my linear measurements that are between like, you know, 2 foot and say, you know, 40 feet or so in that range are panel measurements before they become feet measurements.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I've started to see the world that way. And it's also helpful because I know if I have this many linear feet in the haunt, I'm going to need this many panels most likely, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. To me, this has just become an easy shorthand, but it's because I spend so much time around panels.
Yeah.
It's something I can immediately recognize. Okay, number 9. Practice our growl, our scream, or other haunt voice.
Or character in general.
Yeah, whatever your voice is. Because no one starts out with a perfect haunt voice.
Right.
And so I don't know any haunt workers that have not spent at least a little bit of time in front of a mirror, maybe in costume, maybe not,
right,
working on this. Working on the mannerisms, working on getting that sound just right.
Yeah.
And some will even, I have not actually tried this, I probably should. Actually, I have actually done it because I have all the videos and recordings of me where you record yourself and see how it sounds and make adjustments.
Yeah.
Do you know how crazy you look in a mirror going, That was a little Frankenstein-y, but...
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you have a speaking character outside.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm not an intimidating person from a size standpoint. I never have been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6 feet tall. I'm adequately tall, but my frame is so thin that I have a hard time imposing upon people physically.
Right.
So I have to use my words.
Yeah.
Go with the words. I'm a smooth talker. I am not a character, but yet I've done the Bernie voice in a mirror.
Yeah.
Got in costume, did the Bernie voice, did the mannerisms, practiced it. I know every haunter I know has at least played with their scowls and screams in a mirror.
Well, and the other thing is to prepare for that role because you are greeting people as they come up in their different costumes. You go out and do research.
Oh, yeah.
Again, research on what kind of costumes are going to be popular so you can come up with snappy comebacks for them.
Yeah, if you are at front of house at a costume, at a haunt where people show up in costume, which that's not a big problem in some haunts, but a lot of charity haunts, this is a big thing. If you work front of house, best thing you can do is about a week before Halloween, right before the kids are going to start coming in their costumes, go to your local spirit and chat up the employees, ask what costumes are selling out for girls and boys.
Yeah. Exactly.
I found it to be amazingly useful because, I mean, I was ready for the wave of Elsas, even though I had no idea how big Frozen had gotten.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, luckily, the jokes for that one write itself. I mean, they really should just let it go.
Yeah, you should.
But the point is, Yeah, that's a handy tip for if you're at a haunt where people routinely show up in costume.
Yep.
All right, number 10. Deliberately try to smell bad.
Yeah.
Now, this one, I thought, of course, it's not weird. We're getting in character. But then I remembered something.
Mm-hmm.
There are several multi-billion dollar industries hinging around making you not stink.
Yeah.
There's the deodorant antiperspirant industry.
Right.
There's the general soap and
yeah.
washing industry. And then there's perfumes and colognes.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got at least three industries dedicated to making you not stink.
Yeah.
And we live in perpetual fear of stinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't smell our own BO that well unless it gets really bad.
Right.
If you can smell yourself, definitely take a shower. Just saying. But people worry about this. This is an actual fear that has been ingrained in us through marketing and society. And it wasn't always this way, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fairly new phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but everyone else in the universe goes so far out of the way to not smell bad. And here we are buying crap from Froggy's Fog.
Yeah.
Or just rubbing random stuff on ourselves to stink it up.
Or into our area that yeah. we work in.
Yeah.
We don't always put it on us.
Yeah. But we want to stink.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
It is.
And if you do that outside of a haunt, you are probably a candidate for being locked up in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
And if you're rubbing, you know, dirt and other things all over yourself or filling your scene with it so that you can have that earthy smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one thing to do it in a haunt. It is one thing to do it outside.
Yeah, yeah. Try doing that at a family gathering.
Yeah, do that at Christmas dinner.
Unless your, you know, family's haunty like you.
Yeah.
Then they'll get it.
Yeah. But yeah, seriously, it's a weird thing that we do and pretty much no one else does that.
Yeah.
I can't think of anywhere else because like even like television and stage actors and movie actors don't try to stink.
Right.
They don't have to.
No.
You can't smell them.
No.
Which is probably a good thing. I've watched Avengers.
Yeah, you don't have smell-o-vision yet.
Thank God. Because that'd make the porn industry really weird.
Okay, then.
Okay. Anyways, item 11, we'll move on. Ask for time off in October.
Yeah. Everybody that I know wants Thanksgiving, Christmas time off. Here it's Mardi Gras time off. Nope.
No. Nope. I need extra days in October.
Exactly. And I mean, and for me, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
If the busy time at the job is October.
Especially
late October, then I'm not taking that job.
Yeah.
And that's not a normal response.
No, that is not.
Most you want to like give me extra benefits and give me an easier
position. But you can't give me Halloween off in the days around it.
Exactly.
I don't know, man.
I can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, most haunters have day jobs, and most haunters have to do the very weird thing of asking for extra time off around then.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of actors I know that work like haunted have a full season. Will take Friday off from their regular day job throughout October.
Right.
So that they can get ready, or at least they'll take afternoons off,
mm-hmm.
so they can go to act.
Yeah. I used to do this at a previous job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Take every Friday off. That way I could work on the haunt.
Yeah.
To do those finishing touches to make sure that we were ready for opening.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not typically something that comes up in a job interview, guys.
No, and this has been going on for me for the last 4 or 5 jobs I've had.
Yeah.
But that's over a long span.
Yeah, it's 15 years.
Yeah.
You're not a job hopper.
No, I'm not a job hopper. I just happen to have been in the haunt for a long time.
Yeah. Number 12, this is connected to what was the first one, which is a dumpster diving. We hoard.
Yes.
In our garage, with our tiny haunt,
mm-hmm.
we currently have a box of broken electronics.
Yep.
A fairly sizable box of broken electronics and security cameras and other mm-hmm. things. Hundreds of water-damaged books.
Mm-hmm.
A stack of newspapers, specifically the free ones.
Yeah.
The distributor in the city. A collection of broken toys and children's things.
Yep.
A metric ton of half-used paint cans. most of which themselves were mistents and abandoned paint from Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. They were all, oops paint.
I think the only paint we actually ever really buy is the black. Whenever we use black, we sometimes have to buy that. But we don't use much black anymore.
No.
So, yeah, if I told someone I had this and I didn't have a haunted house, I would be on the TV show Hoarders.
Yeah.
We would be getting mental help.
Exactly.
Because this is a mental illness for non-haunters.
Yeah.
This type of hoarding is a problem if you don't have a haunted house. But we are natural hoarders because we actually can use broken things. Mm-hmm. When a hoarder says, I might need that someday, they're probably lying to themselves. Mm-hmm. They're probably lying. When we say, no, I need that broken security camera system. I might use that someday. I'm probably being right.
Yeah. We actually used all of those last year.
That's why it's in a box now, is we just took it down.
Yeah.
we did the crazy electronics room. There was security camera, like 20 security cameras in one zone, and wires and cabling running everywhere, just all haphazardly.
Yeah, because it was all about fear and the fear of being watched all the time and not having privacy.
We did not have Maxwell's Somebody's Watching Me playing in that room. I see that as a missed opportunity.
Oh, you are the sound guy. So yeah. That's on you.
The problem was we didn't have a third box for that room.
Right.
So that was the reason for that.
We should really check for that tomorrow.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Sorry.
Yeah, but haunters are natural hoarders because we can actually use all these broken and otherwise ready to be discarded things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but seriously, I know we did this. How many of you have had to do this too, where you had to build or acquire extra storage because of all the broken crap and other stuff you're hoarding?
Yeah.
We had to build a storage shed in the backyard because we hoarded so much stuff from the years.
Yeah.
That we just didn't have space to have a haunt and this stuff.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of that's my fault.
No, pretty much all of it's your fault. But...
yeah.
And item 13 to bring us home. Most people don't think about Halloween year-round.
No.
For most people, Halloween is, at most, a season.
Yeah.
For some people, it is just a day. And for some people, it is not even a day to celebrate.
Right.
Or acknowledge. But for even for people who, quote-unquote, like or love Halloween, it's at most a month.
Yeah. Exactly.
It kicks off October 1st. It ends October 31st. It's a perfect bookend. It's October.
Yeah.
It's a month. Not 12 months. Not 365.
No.
For us haunters, this is a year-round obsession.
Yeah.
We're always thinking about it. We're always doing it. I mean, you're thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
You're listening to a podcast called Haunt Weekly that is 52 weeks a year of haunted attraction talk. That's not normal. And we are even less normal for making it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're weird, okay? We just need to accept that. And, you know, we're just cool like that. We get like 12 times the Halloween most people get.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I love that.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, the realization whenever we tell people, oh, yeah, we have a haunted house. Oh, uh-huh. you probably start working on it like in September or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, September.
Yeah, no.
No, we started in November.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just thought of one other thing.
Oh, which is? Go ahead.
We have fucked up Christmas displays if we do any at all.
You know, there's
a whole genre of creepmas out there.
Ooh.
They're calling it creepmas.
I'm going to have to check this out. I'm not familiar with this.
I know.
But the thing is, I used to think haunters were kind of in conflict with Christmas.
Yeah.
And for like us, we are, because we're not Christmas fans. Christmas has tried to kill you ever since you were a child. Christmas basically means I can't go to any of my stores. And all the old people that haven't driven in the last 11 months are suddenly on the road.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what Christmas means to me. And not much past that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of haunters that are genuinely really into Christmas. And they do make that slide. Now, I think we're going to have to watch our ass here a little bit because the Great War Against Christmas is about to take Halloween. I mean, it completely overran Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, but it was because it was such a late Thanksgiving. They had to start early. Bull.
Yeah.
Just bull. Don't feed me that. Stores used to just bite the bullet and have a shorter shopping season and try to cram more sales and more people into it. No. It used to be the kickoff for Christmas was Black Friday, as it should be.
Yeah.
But now, it's just Thanksgiving. It was just, oh yeah, Thanksgiving's like a time out from Christmas season at most.
Yeah. Well, and with Haunts doing more and more holiday-themed
We are kind of counter-striking a little bit, aren't we?
Well, I don't know if it's counter-striking, but we're finding an uneasy peace.
Yeah. Well, I think Nightmare Before Christmas kind of paved the path for that piece. A movie that works equally well for Christmas and Halloween.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that helped pave the piece. But yeah, we're reaching an uneasy peace, but we have to watch out because I already see like Lowe's and Home Depot putting their Christmas crap out way before Halloween's come.
Yeah.
It's like if you want to buy Halloween stuff at those stores, you've got to get there either early October to mid-September, early October.
Yeah.
Because by like October 15th, they're going to have the inflatable Santa out.
Not even October. You mean September.
Yeah, that's true. They had that out early. But they did have a full Halloween display right until mid-October.
Yeah.
So just...
Well, Home Depot did. Lowe's is worse about that.
Lowe's never takes their Christmas crap down is the lesson I've learned.
That's probably true.
I'm pretty sure it's up before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, we're awesome because we think about Halloween 365, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have. I think we're about done. And I know you have tons more suggestions. Believe me, this was not meant to be a complete list. A complete list would take far more than one podcast could contain.
No kidding.
Considering we're right at our 50-minute mark now with 13. So yes, please give us your thoughts. Give us the things that you think make Haunters really weird and alien to quote-unquote normies or muggles or whatever you want to call them. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And once again, you can do that at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Leave a comment. Let us know. You can also find us at hauntweekly.com. That's our website. We have a great form where you can email us there if you wish to send your suggestions that way.
Yeah.
Also, we are youtube.com/hauntweekly. There's our YouTube channel. You can comment there as well if you so choose. Love to hear your thoughts. That's also where all the past episodes are available for easy access. It's a wonderful system we got going there. Very happy about that. And also, of course, you can find us at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
We're going to be around. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was episode 209 of Haunt Weekly, talking about 13 things, I guess 14 now.
Sorry.
That make Haunters weird. Haunters not being able to count. 15.
Well, we'll just keep, you know, the...
We'll keep the 13 and leave it in the notes as it is. But still, it was technically 14. We'll see you guys next time.